I wore the maskers 24/7 for 6 months, extremely diligent. Dr. Tracy, I really struggled in the morning. And so she said, well, why don't you not listen to it in the morning? Right. So I kept the maskers in and got up and went to the gym right away.
Hey there. Welcome to the Tinnitus Relief Podcast. I'm Dr. Ben Thompson, your host and friend on this journey to finding relief from tinnitus. If you've been around the block, seen doctors, and heard that all too common phrase, there's not much you can do, then you're in the right place. Here at the tinnitus telehealth company that I started, Treble Health, we challenge that notion every day. My team and I, experts in tinnitus treatment, believe there's always a way to improve your situation. Need help? Why not start with our free tinnitus quiz? It's something I've put together with the best minds in the field. And honestly, I think it's a game changer for anyone with tinnitus. Give it a go at tinnitusquiz.com. Who knows? You might just decide Treble Health is the team you want to work with. Let's get into today's episode and find some relief together.
Dr. Tracy was the first person that said, I get you, I understand you, it's going to get better. Because I always thought I was in this cycle that it was just going to keep escalating. And I, you know, it was going to be my demise, and which is absolutely not the truth at all. I'm Melinda, and I'm about a little over a year into my journey, 9 months working with Treble Health. But I work remote in Minnesota out of Washington, D.C. So I do travel, and I would call this extremely successful program.
We want to touch on this theme of slow and steady progress, how for anyone to expect a dramatic, say 50% improvement within days or weeks might be unrealistic. Of course, we're aiming for the best result possible. Let's start with right now, where are you today regarding your tinnitus level, loudness, and awareness of the sound?
Okay. So yesterday, I'd be between a 0 and 1, almost non-existent all day yesterday. I tend to run in days. I don't know why. Now on days that are higher, I used to have an entire day where it was bothering me, and now I can break that up. But yesterday was absolutely successful, where between a 0 and a 1, it was there, but I really had to search for it. So that was amazing. I can get 4 or 5 days like that in a row now. When I started, I was like some of the others, I was an 8, 9 off the charts in the ER 10 level, 10 plus level. Today is probably a 2, 3, to be honest. But I can explain why that is once we get into why I didn't always follow exactly the protocol, but still worked extremely well. But I am very impatient. And so I kind of cause my own harm sometimes.
Well, I'm really happy to hear and your continued improvements here and your good health. That's why we're all here to support that and find ways to have that lasting relief. What were the hardest parts near the beginning? You know, remember that folks here often are in these first stages of tinnitus where we might be in the fight or flight. We might be dealing with significant anxiety, might be very new to sound therapy, or even that there is something that can be done for tinnitus. Talk to us about the hardest, most challenging part near the beginning for you, please.
Mm-hmm. So if it matters to those listening, I had COVID and then a COVID vaccine, and then I had a surgery all within a few months. And all of a sudden I woke up 2 days after the surgery and room in my house, and it just came on. And all of a sudden I said, well, why are my ears ringing? And then it would kept going and going. It didn't go away. Then I started to panic. And within a short period of time, not everybody's story, one ear did stop. It was moving around my entire head. My right ear did stay consistently to this day in the tinnitus cycle, but my one ear did stop. So I don't know if it was a stress reaction. I had very, very high level hearing loss on one ear, my right ear, but it wasn't significant. I don't need a hearing aid for it, but I was in an absolute panic. Went into the ER, thought I had a stroke, or, you know, I didn't know what was happening. I was worried if I had a brain tumor. Nobody was helping me. I wondered if it was low iron. I did have low iron. I waited 3 weeks to get into an ENT, and he was quite rude to me and just said flippantly, strange things happen. And he said, I don't think you should do an MRI. It's not going to help you. He said, you just need to get used to it. And I got home and I was questioning if I could even live, to be honest. I was in a panic, and I paced around the island in my kitchen for hours and hours. I couldn't sleep. My husband would try to take me around the block. I lost 25 pounds in 3 months. Chaos. I didn't know if I could keep my job. I had a panic attack at the airport, had to leave the airport, could not get on an airplane, couldn't travel. So I don't mean to sound extreme, but it was absolutely debilitating. I could drive my car for a very short period of time, but it would just echo around in the vehicle, and I I was worried I would get in an accident because I couldn't concentrate to drive. So it was extremely intense. And that's when I finally found, through a Google search, I found trouble. And that's when it all shifted. And that was September. I know all the dates. I got it on June 20th, or 22. And I started working with Dr. Tracy on September 23rd of that same year. And that first conversation is when it started shifting.
Yeah, we're so very sorry that you had to go through that. And I know that others here can relate. And we're here for you. So I'm really happy that you're able to share this vulnerably with our community. So talk to us about, you did find some help. You said that our team was part of that. Talk to us about what allowed you to improve as you started to develop tools, techniques, maybe perspective, education, knowledge. Talk to us about what allowed you to improve, Melinda. Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Tracy was the first person that, like others have said, that said, I get you, I understand you, it's going to get better. Because I was thought I was in this cycle that it was just going to keep escalating. And I, you know, it was going to be my demise, and which is absolutely not the truth at all. And so I ordered the maskers right away and then started following. She sent me items to start doing right away. And so I had some guidance, something to work on. And then I stopped any of the forums or anything that wasn't Treble Health authored. I stopped immediately because it was driving me down in such a pit. And I was very careful who I told, because sometimes when you talk to people about it, their opinions can really be cutting, or they say it's insignificant, or the other way. So I really focused it with Dr. Tracy and your team, started watching a lot of success stories. And I wanted an answer right away, though. I'll be honest, I wanted to wake up and it be gone. I wanted it gone in a month. I wanted it gone in 2 months. And so I really needed to quit having my fists closed and kind of open up and let go on letting the process work. But that was my biggest battle. Just trying to be really patient. But it is, it's tremendously better. I mean, I'm going on this weekend, we're leaving for Greece. I've been on 3 trips, probably more than that in the last year, probably 10 work trips. And we're going to Greece this weekend. I'm not worried about the airplane at all. So that's a significant shift than where I was a year ago.
The theme here of your talk is slow and steady. What mm-hmm. does that mean to you regarding this transition from extreme emergency problem to, well, now I can travel and I'm feeling a lot better and it's not bothering me as much and it's even softer. So talk to us about this slow and steady theme and what it means for you.
Yeah. So I wore the maskers 24/7 for 6 months, extremely diligent. Dr. Tracy, I really struggled in the morning. And so she said, well, why don't you not listen to it in the morning? Right. So I kept the maskers in and got up and went to the gym right away. I found my trigger points. And then I'll be honest, Dr. Ben, at 7 months, I stopped wearing them. I stopped wearing the maskers. I would use sound therapy here in my office. It's extremely quiet. It echoes. And then at night, I would keep sound therapy on the small device that you have in the bundle or my headband that others had mentioned. I would still do that, but I was not wearing the maskers at all. Well, I took 3 trips in a row in June and July, and all of a sudden, some time stuck on the tarmac, which Randy would know. And so I started to get a little panicky and I started telling myself again, I started thinking about health conditions that were causing the tinnitus. And I really got in a rut. And so I called back in and you guys were there that same day. I met with someone on your team and they said, I think you better go put the maskers back in again for a while. And I did. And about a week later, it was back manageable again. So I did have a fluctuation because in my head, I thought, I'm done now. Which, so slow and steady is absolutely the way this works. But sometimes I fight the system. I fight the process. So if I can help anybody in that is take their advice. And even if you're feeling great at 6 months, which I went from a 9 or 10 to like a 3 really quickly in those 6 months. The advice was to wear them at least 4 hours a day for another 3 months. And I did not follow that. So now I'm back. I have them in right now. And so I'm back trying to wear them for maintenance so I don't go back into those fluctuations again, or I don't need to hyper-focus on it again.
And that's a healthy approach. And the ultimate goal, which you seem to be relatively close to, is to not need them on a daily basis and right. to bring the levels down where very few things would fluctuate it back. Mm-hmm. And like you alluded to, even when things went through a bit of an increase, what some might call a spike or a fluctuation, that you were able to bring it down again using the same tools and methods, and it was a lot faster of a process because you had tools in place. I don't want individuals to be worried that you mean I have to go through this whole process and I'm sensitive and things might just revert back. And no, that's really not the case. I think the message here is that we're looking often at a 6 to 12 month time window of utilizing these techniques, utilizing the tools before we're safely in a place where it's very rare that it's going to revert back. and slow and steady using sound therapy, slow and steady regarding the timeline here is pretty key. Melinda, you've always had great advice here for the community. I do want to give folks a chance to ask you questions because I know you're going to come up with some great answers. So Melinda, general advice to those who are in the first 6 months of dealing with bothersome tinnitus, looking for resources. Maybe they've started our program. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they're just researching, looking for options. What would be your advice to those individuals?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also did research and listened to the partners that you had on, Julian Cowan-Hill, Glenn Schweitzer, some of the people you would interview. I have their books as well. But the advice is the end game is positive. The science is there. The evidence is there. We're here. There's success stories. The end game is not, not negative. The end game is positive. And so if you keep thinking that, everybody's story is a little bit different. But if you can just go dig down in the deep part of your stomach and find that grit, the end game is going to be better than where you are. And I should have said, Dr. Ben, when I stopped wearing the maskers and I claimed a victory, I still have victory. It did not go back up even close to the 8 or 9, not even close. It was just more like, oh, I'm kind of annoyed. So I want to reiterate that. So it did not revert back. It went to a point where, hey, I'm a little stressed out and it's annoying me. A really cool thing is when you talked to Julian Cowan-Hill, he talked about tinnitus being your friend. And I used to laugh at that and be like, that's not working for me. But now I'm like, what if I got this to help improve my stress level to prevent future disease? What if I got this to help me live a better life? If you can shift it, that's a really cool perspective. Is I'm living far healthier now than I was a year ago. Because I'm learning how to manage stress. I'm learning how to eat better. I'm learning because when my stress level is higher, I'm more annoyed. It's just A plus B. And so that was really neat to kind of learn about this is your body speaking to you. And it's not the end of the world. I'm sure I always had this. I just didn't notice it before when I was younger, to be honest.
Of course, Melinda, thank you so much. And let's bring in some other questions. Do you wear any tinnitus maskers or headphones when you travel on a plane? Do you use earplugs? What's your approach to being on a plane?
Yeah, so I bring my maskers with and I have them in. To be honest, like Randy said, the ambient noise is really, really good in an airplane, but I have them in because it's like a comfort, like I don't say a comfort blanket, but it's like I don't have to stress. Like that's the coolest thing ever is when I sit and I go, for a second, I'll be like, I'm going to panic about this. I'm like, I don't need to panic about this. I have my maskers and I have crickets, which are local to Minnesota and they're amazing. So I like crickets and pink noise. So I do, but earplugs don't work for me at all. I don't know if you've tried earbuds, Apple earbuds, it echoes around. I need what the maskers do is they let noise in and out of I don't know how to say that, Ben, you could say it better, but the earplugs don't work for me at all. It just echoes around. It's very tinny. So I don't use them. I do have earpiece, but I don't use them.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a few different things we can put in our ears, right? There's earplugs to restrict sound. That should only be used if we're going around very loud sound. So think construction equipment, rock concert, those types of sounds. Mm-hmm. A plane is safe listening levels for someone with tinnitus. It's not too loud. So in a plane, someone might choose to lower the sound if they just were more comfortable in that way, but that's not necessary. And then there's a few options for how to play sounds through the ears. The tinnitus maskers have a rubber tip in the ear canal that there's holes in it. So like Melinda said, it lets sounds in, it lets sounds out. AirPods, these kinds of headphones that I'm wearing, normal headphones that go in the ear, AirPods, those do not let sound in or out. They're really processing all the sound, and that usually makes tinnitus louder and not recommended for long-term use during the treatment process for tinnitus. So yeah, that's my assessment and you explained it well. What sound therapy did you find to work the best for you?
So white noise didn't work. We tried that. Pink noise, Dr. Tracy nicely moved it around quite a bit for me at the beginning. Now I realize I probably didn't need to, but I was being type A. I picked something. Some people said, oh, do ocean noise, or you guys laugh when I say this, but I'm in Minnesota. I don't want to listen to the ocean. I don't want to listen to waves, things like that. So I do things natural to my environment. Crickets is my go-to when I really need to calm down. That's natural to the environment. And then forest noises or bird noises, anything that I can get, I can feel like I'm outside, really help from me. I know that's not everybody's story, but those are the two. I didn't really shake it up too much beyond that.
Yeah. And how did you listen to those sound therapies? Was it through the maskers? Was it through a speaker? Was it through a sound machine? Some combination of all of them?
Yeah. So I like the maskers. The maskers I wore 24/7. Now I use the sleep sound device or the ear band at night, but I kept it on the same ReSound app is really good. And Ben, I'm actually listening to crickets on your new app right now. So So that's a really, really good one. Auto app's good. Harvest on the Calm app is good. I have a lot of apps. Harvest on the Calm app on a certain time, but you really, all of a sudden, you really zone in on two or three, or they advise you to take, to only pick two or three. But pink noise is easier in the maskers if it's not Bluetooth, because like some had mentioned, Bluetooth can get a little dicey sometimes if you're in bad connection or your phone's acting up or people are calling you, which can get frustrating. But if the pink noise that's in the devices is just steady, I don't like the too much blended in. It kind of is distracting to me. But the non-Bluetooth noises are really good if you just want to chill out for like, if I'm going to work 8 hours here in my office, I just use that because I don't want it to be interrupted.
And you're referring to how the tinnitus maskers themselves, they're programmed and set up so that they do not rely on your phone to work. They don't rely on Bluetooth to have the sound therapy. And it's especially helpful because, like you said, notifications, sounds in the phone, if it's connected to Bluetooth, you're getting some of those. So it is recommended to spend most of the sound therapy time not connected to Bluetooth with the tinnitus maskers. You have them in your ears right now. Do you have them available on your desk? Could you show us what they look like?
Oh, yeah, I have them in right now. You know, the waves and things like that. I noticed that I don't like the intermittent when it's not, there isn't a pink noise, there isn't a background noise, because it goes silent for a second and you hear it and then you don't hear it and then you hear it. That was extremely frustrating to me.
So you prefer more of the constant crickets or pink noise?
Yeah. And okay. I put them in today because I was getting a little anxious about speaking. So I I could tell I could hear it more. So I put them in for the call and I thought, oh, why not? So.
Well, leave a comment if you think Melinda's a great speaker, because I certainly do. Next question we have is, did exercise make your tinnitus worse? Kimberly says that she likes hiking, but she's not sure if she should do hiking or exercise. It would make sound worse, if it would help with stress levels and make it better. What was your experience with that?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when I first got tinnitus, I felt paralyzed. I couldn't get the gym. I couldn't walk. But now once I get there, especially the group classes, if there's music, I don't hear it at all. And then another thing I did is I had my panel run, labs and panel. I don't want to get too detailed on that. But when I got tinnitus, my cortisol was through the roof, as expected, right? Like, I don't know, vice versa, chicken or the egg. I don't know which one. But the exercise will bring that cortisol level down and it makes the tinnitus more tolerable. So I would highly suggest, I can tell if I don't go for a few days, anything that makes my body calmer or my nervous system calmer will help bring it down.
Excellent. So hiking is probably approved, but check in with your doctor or with your audiologist that you're working with just to go over your specific case. It should be mentioned for all of the presentations here today that each individual case is different. So try not to generalize unless you have a professional helping you make those decisions, because they're important. Next question here is about sleep. So Melinda, you sleep with the maskers. Talk to us about your sleep routine, what you use for sound therapy, and other tips you have about sleep.
Yeah. So you can sleep in the maskers. They don't, maybe for like the first night or two, you'll notice them, but they don't bother you. They're very small. They're very light. You can't feel them in your ears. For the first 6 months, I did that. Now I just use a speaker on the right side, but I have it in my right ear. So that works for me. I had the sleep pillow as well, but it wasn't loud enough. I don't know if I'd highly recommend the sleep pillow, to be honest, but the headband's much, much better, especially the headband with the earbuds, either one. The headbands are really good. Now I would sleep like an hour and wake up. I had a sleep app. Now I'm 8 hours, or if I can get that, 7-8 hours, I don't wake up at all. So that's the goal. And I should tell you, I was on anxiety meds the first few months, or 3 to 6 months. And I was panicking because I didn't know what medication was maybe making it worse. Now, if you need to take medication, I don't want to go into that, but I'm just saying for me, in sleep medication, I don't need any of that now, because it was just a constant cycle of, I didn't know what was making it worse and what was making it better. But now I can say I don't need any sleep medication.
Really happy to hear that. And yeah, that's something that is sensitive, and making rapid changes without a doctor physician consult on that is not advised. Having a team to help make those decisions, and you know, in this theme of slow and steady, changes to medications is something that most often should be done slow and steady, and especially with a doctor's guidance. I want to read a comment here. Jeff says, observation, before joining this summit, I had a bit of a stressful day today because I'm 6 weeks in and I'm struggling at times, but today's summit has brought my stress down and boosted my optimism. These success story videos should be required as daily medicine to keep the momentum going, in addition to sound therapy, aka positive story therapy. Melinda, what's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would sit in my backyard and my kids would know. I would sit and watch success stories over and over and over. I still watch them, Ben, because they're amazing. I just need a little bit of hope out there. And it's not just one or two people. It's a lot of people. But if you want to stay, if someone wants to stay negative and you don't want to work, it probably is going to be really hard. But if you kind of let go and watch the success stories and take a quip from each one, absolutely. And we do this, we volunteer to do this because we want to help other people. Like it's miserable. Like Randy, some of the others said, like their first few months, it's grueling and gritty and it's hard. And not everybody understands it. It's not a condition people can see. Right. And so people don't understand you. Well, we're in our tribe now. Like all of us understand each other. So it's a really cool support group.
Yeah. And where are you today, Melinda, just in terms of the daily intensity of tinnitus? Does it affect you during the daytime hours? Does it affect you trying to fall asleep at night? Walk us through where you are today, and then we can look forward and try to map out what are your next months here look like?
Yeah. So like I said, I'd be a year in the therapy in September. Right. So I don't hear it at all at church anymore or out when I'm in public. When I do hear it, it's in my office here. So I have to be really careful. I have sound machines, the lower cost versions in each room. I don't want to go sit in a room in silence because I'm going to go search for it. Just how I am. But I don't have any trouble sleeping. I'm fully back to my life. Everything's completely back to normal. Like I said, I don't sit in a silent room. I would say like yesterday was a zero, which is amazing. I don't want to get too excited about that because the next day might not be the same, but today is probably like a two-ish, two-three-ish. And I put my maskers in. I'm always hoping to get, I still have high hopes of zero, to be honest. I want it stage four and I want it permanent. I'm not quite there yet, but I also took that little jaunt where I wasn't doing anything for about 3-4 months and traveling all over the country. So I'm in a really good place and I owe it to travel because I could still be in a miserable place not having any answers here because no one locally, I love the telehealth because nobody here locally really got me. No, nobody understood me. So it's amazing.
Well, you know what? We certainly helped, but you did a lot of the work and you showed up and you put in the effort and tried. The effort mm-hmm. makes a huge difference. Following our recommendations, for the most part, you did, and that makes a huge difference. So we all just want to express our love and gratitude for being here and sharing your story and really showing this resilience, showing this ability to overcome extreme hardship related to health. We can't thank you enough. Thank you so much, Melinda. Great to see you again.
Thanks, everyone.
I'm Ben Thompson, founder of Treble Health. Thanks for joining us in today's episode of the Tinnitus Relief Podcast. Remember, despite what you've heard, there's always a path to better managing your tinnitus. Looking for what to do next? Try the Tinnitus Quiz, which I crafted alongside the world's leading tinnitus doctors. It's a free assessment that I strongly recommend for anyone struggling with tinnitus. Why not take a moment to give it a try? Visit tinnitusquiz.com to get your results today. Stay hopeful. There's so much you can do for your tinnitus.